We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the first canto, 10th chapter, entitled Departure of Lord Krishna for Dwarka, text number 17. Oh, sorry, 18 and 19. Uddhava satyakishchaiva. It's not on the board. I'll chant it first, though. Vyajane paramabhute. Vikiryamana kusumai. Reja madhupati pati. Translation. Uddhava and Satyaki began to fan the Lord with decorated fans, and the Lord, as the master of Madhu, seated on scattered flowers, commanded them along the road. Text number 19. Asruyanta sitsa satya.
Asruyanta sitsa satya.
Tata tatra dvijerita.
Tata tatra dvijerita.
Nanurupanurupascha.
Nanurupanurupascha.
Nirgunasya gunatmanah.
Nirgunasya gunatmanah.
Asruyanta shisa satya.
Asruyanta shisa satya.
Tatra tatra jujerita.
Tatra tatra jujerita.
Nanurupanurupascha.
Nanurupanurupascha.
Nirgunasya gunatmanah.
Nirgunasya gunatmanah.
Asruyanta shisa satya.
Asruyanta shisa satya.
Tatra tatra jujerita.
Tatra tatra jujerita.
Nanurupanurupascha.
Nanurupanurupascha.
Nirgunasya gunatmanah.
Nirgunasya gunatmanah.
Asruyanta,
asruyanta,
being heard,
being heard.
Ashisa,
ashisa,
benediction,
benediction.
Satyaha,
satyaha,
all truth,
all truth.
Tatra,
tatra,
here,
here.
Tatra,
tatra,
there,
there.
Dvijayiritaha,
dvijayiritaha.
Sounded by learned brahmanas.
Sounded by learned brahmanas.
Na,
na.
Not.
Na.
Anurupa.
Anurupa.
Befitting.
Befitting.
Anurupa.
Anurupa.
Fitting.
Befitting.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Nirgunasya.
Nirgunasya.
Of the absolute.
Of the absolute.
Guna atmanah.
Guna atmanah.
Playing the role of a human being.
Playing the role of a human being.
Translation. It was being heard here and there that the benedictions being paid to Krishna were neither befitting nor unbefitting, because they were all for the absolute who was now playing the part of a human being. Purport. At places there were sounds of Vedic benediction aiming at the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. The benedictions were fitting in the sense that the Lord was playing the part of a human being, as if a cousin of Maharaj Yudhisthira, but they were also unfitting because the Lord is absolute and has nothing to do with any kind of material activities. He is nirguna, or there are no material qualities in him. But he's full of transcendental qualities. In the transcendental world, there is nothing contradictory. Whereas in the world, in the relative world, everything has its opposite. In the relative world, white is the opposite conception of black. But in the transcendental world, there is no distinction between white and black. Therefore, the sounds of benedictions uttered by the learned brahmanas here and there appear to be contradictory in relation with the absolute person. But when they're applied to the absolute person, they lose all contradiction and become transcendental. One example may clear this idea. Lord Sri Krishna is sometimes described as a thief. He's very famous amongst his pure devotees as the Makkan Chor. He used to steal butter from the houses of neighbors at Vrindavan in his early age. Since then, he is famous as a thief. But in spite of his being famous as a thief, he's worshipped as a thief, whereas in the mundane world, a thief is punished and is never praised. Since he's the absolute personality of Godhead, everything is applicable to him, and still, in spite of all contradictions, he is the supreme personality of Godhead. Om Jnanati Manandasya Vandana Salakya Chaksurun Minitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapalantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Sya Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakam Vitam Sya He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaskute Tata Kamsa Nagorangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpaturubhyacha Sakripa Sanubhyacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasana Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Translation again. It was being heard here and there that the benedictions being paid to Krishna were neither befitting nor unbefitting, because they were all for the Absolute, who was now playing the part of a human being. So when Lord Krishna appears in this world, he appears along with his associates. There's that example of one devotee who showed a drawing of Krishna to Srila Prabhupada. And the flute was there, the yellow dhoti was there, the peacock feather was there. And Prabhupada said, it's not Krishna. Because there was no associate, there was no one. There was no peacock, no cow, or no devotee. It was Krishna, a picture of Krishna without devotee. There is no such thing. Krishna is always in relationship with his associates, with his devotees. Therefore, when Krishna appears in this world, his devotees also appear within this world. And as Krishna takes a particular mood in a particular incarnation, his associates also do so. Just as at the time of Lord Ramachandra, some of the devotees of the Lord appeared as monkeys, in the same way, at the time of Lord Krishna in Dwarka, some of the associates of the Lord were also assisting him in his royal opulence. And Krishna, being there seated upon a throne, was being worshipped as a king is meant to be worshipped. It is explained in the scriptures that as a king is being awoken in the morning, then servants enter his quarters and they sing prayers glorifying him. So the king gets disturbed. Who's waking me up? Right? As anyone gets disturbed by an alarm clock, what is this noise? Right? Then realize, oh, it's the day has begun. So the king would also feel disturbed by the noise, but then he would hear his own glories, so that made him feel a little better, being disturbed. And in this way, in Vedic culture, everything was very intricately and precisely figured out, very refined. So the king was in this way, throughout the day, being the center of the attention, and there would be various moments to glorify the king. And there were brahmanas who were particularly engaged in this service. In other chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam, we find references to the professional reciters. That was their profession, to glorify the king. That was their business. Those professional reciters in that particular chapter are describing the glories of Maharaj Pariksit, who then just had just taken birth, and on the basis of astrology they established his glories. So this was the practice. Therefore, in one sense, it was natural. It was natural that the king was being glorified. That it was natural, therefore, that the brahmanas were offering prayers and benedictions. Because not only were the brahmanas meant to glorify the king in a form of flattery, but the brahmanas were, from a social point of view, superior to the king. Right. So after duly respecting the king and duly offering praise to the king, the brahmanas would also offer benedictions to the king. So in this verse, I'll repeat the verse just for Bhavananda Prabhu. Please, this is appropriate. Otherwise, you're out of touch. I wouldn't feel happy. It's the first time he ever came to my class. It was being heard here and there that the benedictions being paid to Krishna were neither befitting nor unbefitting, because they were all for the Absolute, who is now playing the part of a human being. So it is Lord Krishna who is being glorified by the brahmanas in Dwarka. So these brahmanas were glorifying Krishna with suitable praise, and then they were offering benedictions. That, of course, is unbefitting in one sense, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there is no need for offering any benedictions to the Supreme Lord or to ascribe any temporary qualities to Krishna. He's the Absolute, he's the origin of everything, therefore everything comes from him. Just as the example has been given of Sandipani Muni, who was the teacher of Krishna and who taught Krishna 64 different arts. And it is explained that Sandipani Muni was just like a mountain, and that Krishna was like an ocean, and that from Krishna, from the ocean of Krishna, the cloud banks of knowledge came, and these cloud banks of knowledge became deposited on these mountain peaks, and on the mountain peak of Sandipani Muni, all this knowledge assembled, and then it ran down in the form, it came down in the form of rain, and then ran down in the form of rivers, only to return to the ocean. So in this way, all the knowledge actually came from Krishna and was given to Sandipani Muni, who offered it back to Krishna. This is actually the position. We see sometimes also how in the Ganges, these brahmanas are taking their bath and are scooping up a little water and then just offering it back. Yeah. Same thing, receiving from the Lord and then offering back from the to the Lord. And that is about all we can do. So, therefore, the brahmanas could not really offer benedictions to the Supreme Lord. Rather, it is the position of the Supreme Lord to offer the benedictions. Therefore, it's not surprising that it was being heard here and there that the benedictions being paid to Krishna were neither befitting. So some were saying it was not befitting. And they were pointing out this point. the point that Krishna is the supreme absolute and that no benedictions can be offered to him. Others were saying it is befitting, because Krishna, after all, is playing the role of a human being and now of a king in Dwarka. So then, according to etiquette, this must be offered. And even from a transcendental point, not only from a social point, but even from a transcendental point, that was befitting. Because after all, it was the mood of Krishna. So, to be the servant means that one is not only offering service according to one's own insights, what he thinks is best, but that one is supposed to offer service in the mood that is befitting to the master. There's one example, one story about Upendra, who had like a little blanket which he had ever had since he was a kid, right? This little blanket. And at the time of initiation, he, as Dakshin, he gave his dearmost blanket, his treasured possession that he had his whole life, he gave it to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was just, what to do with this? what is this? Right? What kind of Dakshin is this? This is useless. Right? But then, in the next few days, he found some purpose for it. It became an asana, right? For guests to come to the room, so he accepted the service. Prabhupada was so expert in that. Now it brings another story to mind, which I also like very much. And that story is that one time a Mayavadi sannyasi met Prabhupada. And somehow or other, he, during some program, different speakers, and he presented Prabhupada with a box with brochures, all with Mayavad philosophies about his preaching work. Gave Prabhupada a whole box with brochures. Thank you very much. Servant took it away. And, well, that box was somewhere. Then later, sometime later, on a Sunday program, or a public program, not sure if it was a Sunday program, in a public program, Prabhupada asked for that box to be brought. The devotees brought the box. And then Prabhupada said to everyone's shock, actually, he said, give everyone a brochure. Just give everyone a Mayavadi brochure. And then Prabhupada said, so, did everyone get one of the brochures? Yes, yes, everyone got. He said, all right, open it up and put it in front of you. And it was used as a plate to serve prasad. That's a famous story, but so amazing. Yeah? Such a wonderful way. Because one, this shows the mercy of a great personality who somehow or other is receiving an offering that is totally unfit. Totally unfit. Yeah? Mayavadi brochures. Right. What do you do with them? Right? We would say burn them, you know, like destroy them immediately, right? So that they may not contaminate anyone. I mean, that might be our first reaction. But then Prabhupada thought, no, how can I give this person the mercy? How can I engage this person? So it's not just a matter of accepting the service, or saying thank you very much and then throwing it away, but really, really accepting the gift and engaging it in the service of Krishna. So Prabhupada figured it out. So this is the mood of accepting service. So the brahmanas were offering benedictions to Krishna in a mood of service. Because actually, it was not that these brahmanas did not know that Krishna was the supreme personality of Godhead. They knew. That was not the real issue. It was not that they were not qualified and therefore that some brahmanas who were less qualified were offering benedictions and others who were more knowledgeable, those brahmanas were pointing out this is unbefitting. That wasn't the situation. The situation simply was that some of these brahmanas were offering that service of assisting Krishna in his role of royalty on earth, and that therefore they played this part and offered benedictions, right, knowing very well that it wasn't appropriate. So, in dealings with the Supreme Lord, One must always remember that one deals with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's that example of Kamala Kanta Viswas, who was a servant of Advaita Acharya. And at one point, Advaita Acharya had borrowed money from Maharaj Prataparuda. So one day, Kamala Kanta Viswas wrote a letter. And he wrote a letter, and he said, a letter to Maharaj Prataparuda saying that it's inappropriate to ask this money from Advaita Acharya, because actually Advaita Acharya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you should not ask back for these 300 rupees, which obviously was a large sum at that time. And when somehow or other, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found out about this letter. How? Nobody knew. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found out about this letter, and he said, this Kamala Kanta Viswas, I don't want to see him in my association any longer. No more. Simply because Kamala Kanta Viswas had transgressed the etiquette. How could the Supreme Personality of Godhead be so poor that he needed to be absolved of a debt of 300 rupees? Right. Therefore, in one letter, you call him the Supreme Lord, and at the same time you're asking him to be absolved of a debt of 300 rupees? He who has all opulence? Right. Just a bowl, you know, he's a bowl. In other words, one who is worshipping the Lord, but who has no philosophical understanding, who is not following any regulative principle, and simply singing the glories of the Lord, but otherwise just sentimental, a bowl, right? That is the position of a bowl, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu referred to him as a bowl. So, in this way, we see that one cannot just glorify randomly. One must glorify in a proper way. And this actually doesn't just apply to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but it also applies to the Vaishnavas. One must learn how to praise the Vaishnavas. And Vaishnavas must be praised appropriately according to their position. One should not offer undue praise. One should actually offer due praise. If due praise is offered, then it is very much appreciated by all the Vaishnavas. But if someone just put tilak for the first day, and we go, oh, you are a Paramahansa, oh, you are a resident from, you have just descended from the spiritual world, and we try to use this type of glorification, then we're over-glorifying. Then we are artificially glorifying. Then the glorification is not genuine, then we are not recognizing the real service that has been done by a person. Because the most wonderful thing is that when Vaishnavas in their association are appreciating each other's service, this is an important point. We're seeing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri in the association of his very close associates. And they were all seated there in a very glorious way. And it is said that at that time, Sanatan Goswami came for the first time. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already instructed Sanatan Goswami in Varanasi. But Sanatan Goswami had met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he had not met all the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So at that time, Sanatan Goswami in Jagannath Puri, for the first time, met all the intimate devotees of Lord Chaitanya. Then Sanatan Goswami was introduced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sanatan Goswami very humbly offered his obeisances to the various associates of the Lord, who accepted him. And it said they offered him friendship, respect, and honor. So this is interesting to find this description of these dealings amongst devotees. Because in one sense, we thought, a devotee is not interested in taking any glory. Rather, he just stays anonymous. Okay? Doesn't want to accept any praise or glorification. But here, Sanatana Goswami was accepted and was given praise, was given honor, was glorified, was given respect, was given recognition. So, this principle of recognition is important. It is not that we serve Krishna alone. We serve Krishna in the association of devotees. It is said that a devotee doesn't want anything in return for his service. And that is true and not true. A devotee does not want any material benefit from his service. He doesn't want any relief from suffering. He doesn't want any opulences in this material world, nor does he desire liberation. He doesn't want any of such benedictions. A devotee simply wants the devotional service of the Lord. But there's one more thing that a devotee wants. A devotee, somehow or other, wants to have that opportunity to render service to Krishna and to see a glimmer of recognition in the eyes of the Supreme Lord. And it's for that glimmer of recognition, right? It's that glimmer of recognition that one lives, right? That Krishna actually is actually appreciating the service, that actually Krishna has noticed the service. That is what creates the greatest ecstasy in the heart. In the same way, when the Vaishnavas, who were all together giving their life in service, when they see that someone else is when they see that someone else is serving so nicely, and then they recognize that service, this is not the kind of empty glorification. This is not praise for the sake of praise, but this is the kind of praise for the sake of sharing and recognition, and actually together sharing the glory of devotional service, and how wonderful it is to serve Krishna. So this is part of of actual Vaishnava relationships, and essential that we in this way reciprocate amongst Vaishnavas. In that way, the dealings of the devotees are very intricate. Here also in this verse, we see an assembly. We see an assembly in Dwarka of liberated souls. We see an assembly of associates of the Lord. We see an assembly of transcendental personalities. And we see that within that assembly, all the various elements were there to adjust to the Supreme Lord for His pleasure and to glorify Him also, glorifying Him as a king and at the same time establishing Him as the Supreme Lord. That is important. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, once he had revealed his identity to his devotees. In the first portion of his life, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained incognito. No one knew that he was the Supreme Lord. But then there was the Mahaprakash Lila in the house of Srivas, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his identity as the Supreme Lord. And then there was that group of intimate devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who were aware that he was the Supreme Lord. From that day on, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never tolerated a moment of deviation from proper behavior. A moment of deviation from being treated as the Supreme Lord. The example is Damodar Pandit. Damodar Pandit was a great devotee who was very, very strict and who was very learned and who was always pointing out the standard. And whenever there was a slight deviation from the standard, Damodar Pandit would catch it, point it out. So one day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Puri, and at that time, Damodar Pandit was also present, and there was every day a very nice young boy coming to visit the Supreme Lord. And this young boy was serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very, very nicely, and he was very attracted to him. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also very affectionate to this boy. So after 3 days, or a number of days, I should say, after a number of days, Damodar Pandit couldn't tolerate it anymore. He said, "Why are you so affectionate to this boy? Yeah? How can you be so affectionate to this boy?" And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was being chastised. He said, "This boy, man, is very nice. Very nice features. Very nice behavior. Very qualified boy. He is very nice. But he has one natural fault. He is the son of a very young, attractive Brahmani widow. Right. So what will people say? When they see you're so affectionate to this boy. So how can you do this?" It is said that this kind of criticism of Damodar Pandit was also out of love. It was also out of love that he spoke like that. But it was not appropriate. And therefore the next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Mother Sachi has been very alone in Bengal, and she's suffering very much in separation from me. So it would be very nice if someone could go there to comfort her and bring her some news from here. So I thought that since Mother Sachi is all alone, she will need protection. And Damodar Pandit is very, very strict. He can chastise even me. Right? So therefore, in front of Damodar Pandit, no one will dare to misbehave in front of Mother Sachi. So I think he's the best person to go. Yeah. And that was it. Damodar Pandit was out of the association of the Lord. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not tolerate any inappropriate behavior. All the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were always recognizing him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and behaving with him in that particular way. And that is the position. The position in dealing with the Supreme Lord and in dealing with his representatives, or representatives, right? The first representative being the spiritual master. The same way, he should always be treated as the Supreme Lord. And then, of course, there are the God brothers of the spiritual master, there are other superiors, and so on. That all should be duly treated according to their position. So within this Vaishnav etiquette is a tremendous purification, is where it is not artificial. Sometimes one may wonder, but if relationships are totally bound by etiquette, is there then just any room for just spontaneous human expression? Right? And if everything is just bound by etiquette, aren't we killing the spontaneity of normal relationships? And everything has to be prescribed duty. So no, our spontaneity at this stage is not very elevated. Our spontaneity finds its roots in conditioned behavior, right? And therefore, our spontaneity will actually not benefit us in developing the mood of a Vaishnava, that mood of humility. We are spontaneously under the influence of false ego, and we are spontaneously falsely proud, and we are spontaneously finding it very difficult to take a humble position. Therefore, this Vaishnava etiquette is a systematic way of bringing us gradually, step by step, to the humble platform, which is almost impossible to attain, especially in this age. But at any time, for a conditioned soul, humility is very difficult, because the tendency of the conditioned soul is to be envious. And for an envious person, it is impossible to be humble, because the envious person is trying to assert his own superiority over others again and again. So it is difficult. Therefore, it is very beneficial if we take shelter of such proper codes of conduct. So Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us proper codes of conduct. Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is a further expansion of Srimad Bhagavatam, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is basically basing his teachings on Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Chaitanya Charitamrita may be considered an expansion of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is a book which particularly teaches us about, in very relevant ways, about Vaishnava etiquette. Because we're dealing with devotees who are externally designated as we are. Right? They are chanting Hare Krishna, they are of different generations, coexisting, they are grihastas, sannyasis, they are in all the different ashrams and so on. And they all have their interactions, right? And therefore, they set the perfect standard of Vaishnava behavior. And such appropriate behavior in relation to the Supreme Lord and in the relation to his devotees is most valuable. And it's one of the points that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stressed. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had instructed Sanatana Goswami, then, and he had given him the different aspects of cultivating pure devotional service, the same ones we find in the Nectar of Devotion, the 64 aspects. At that time, Sanatana Goswami asked for a benediction and said, "My dear Lord, please give me the benediction that all these instructions will be manifest within me." And then, so Lord Chaitanya gave him that benediction. And then after that, Lord Chaitanya asked him to write a book about sadachar, about proper Vaishnava behavior or Vaishnava etiquette, or the behavior of a saintly person. And Sanatana Goswami said, that is very difficult. That is very, very difficult to write this. Even after he had received that benediction, all the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be manifest, he still said, very difficult. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally gave him some points of what should be part of that writing. And then then Sanatana Goswami wrote the Hari Bhakti Vilas. So, the point why I'm bringing out this example is how much Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was stressing, actually, the importance of prescribed Vaishnava behavior and proper behavior. And this is what we are learning here in these verses, amongst many other things. Also, that Krishna is always absolute, And no matter what he does, he is always the worshipable Lord. Right. Yes. Prabhupada points out in the purport that Makam Chor example. Krishna steals, he's a thief, and he's glorified for it. Krishna is sporting in the rasa dance, he's glorified for it. Although some of the gopis were married. Right. But Krishna is glorified. He's always the Supreme Lord, and he is most kind and merciful. This kind of philosophy is not to be imitated. I was once in the Himalayas, in the village where the Dalai Lama meets. And when I was there, I saw a whole line of monks standing, waiting in front of the butcher shop. So, being Dutch and abrasive, I couldn't help myself. And I just went up straight to them and said to them, "What is this, you know? You're waiting in line at the butcher shop? Is this ahimsa? Yeah? Is this ahimsa?" And they said, "Yes, it is ahimsa. We are very merciful for eating these animals, because by eating them, they become liberated." So, they were just placing themselves on an absolute platform, right? As beyond laws, beyond rules and regulations, acting that whatever they were doing was a benediction. But this is the privilege of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only the Supreme Personality of Godhead is beyond all these standards. He can do anything and everything. But the devotees of the Lord, they are adhering to the rules and regulations. Of course, it is said that sometimes a great liberated soul may not follow rules and regulations, and that he is beyond the rules and regulations. But it's said such a great soul will generally still follow the rules and regulations to set the example, out of mercy, out of his causeless mercy, to teach. So the proper standards of behavior should be thoroughly studied, should be thoroughly practiced, and should then be thoroughly taught in our preaching, because it is through that we can actually be successful in devotional service. If we are not embracing these standards, which are included in these 64 aspects of devotional service, then we cannot expect that our endeavors will be fruitful. Our endeavors, Srila Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Devotion, that these standards must be very rigidly observed. I think now I've used up the time completely. So I will not belabor the point. If there are any questions or any comments.
I was thinking yesterday, it means now a teacher tell Haribol to all the devotees, not tell Haribol, Hare Krishna. When they don't tell me nothing, I tell another time, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I don't know if penalty or not necessary or what. Okay. Mm. Sometimes in Mayapur you tell Hare Krishna.
No reaction.
They don't tell nothing. Why? This is like not a ticket or not?
Entonces. So the question is that if we greet a Vaishnava and we speak the holy name, for example, say Hare Krishna or Hari Bol, if a devotee should expect an answer, and if there's a response, if there's no response, then if that's appropriate or inappropriate. Naturally, when a Vaishnava greets us, right, under normal circumstances, we certainly will acknowledge that Vaishnava and greet that Vaishnava. After all, a Vaishnava is a great worshipable personality and worthy of our respect. So naturally, if a Vaishnava greets us, we will always greet him back. But if we greet another Vaishnava and he doesn't greet us back, that we can understand. We are so insignificant, not worthy of greeting back at all. The very fact that they just tolerate us in our presence is already a great benediction. And we cannot really ask for more, isn't it? Fallen as we are.
But that is okay if they don't tell nothing.
To us it's okay. But it's not okay if we tell nothing to them. That's not okay. When they greet us, we must always greet them back, because they're so exalted. And we are so forgotten. We should give them all respect. But we are so fallen. They're so kind that they tolerate us. They don't have to speak to us. So. Yes?
Regarding the two examples of Kamalakanta Vishash and Kamadhar Pandit, Arjuna, he was an eternal associate of Krishna, and he was put into illusion by Krishna's internal potency so that the common man could hear the lesson of Bhagavad Gita. So is that similar for Kamalakanta Vishas, that he was actually in the Yoga Maya?
I've not read any statement on that. It could be. It could well be. But I've not seen any. In the purports, there is no reference to that. I have not heard any statement from it. So I will not authoritatively say that it is so. But it's certainly likely, because the associates of Advaita Acharya are obviously not ordinary persons either. Since he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, those who've dedicated their lives to him as his servants are also transcendental personalities. So one would expect that Kamalakanta Vishwas would have been a liberated soul. Yeah. But still, we never look at these pastimes from that aspect. Yeah. It's if you start meditating on this point that actually it's all going on by Yoga Maya, yeah, that's all nice. And then you look at everything that happens in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, it's all staged and all going on by Yoga Maya. But we should actually look at it as genuine expressions of human emotion. We should not think that that what they are experiencing is not exactly similar to our moods. They are the example for us, very much so. And they get into the same moods, and they make mistakes, apparently, right? As we make mistakes. And their mistakes are pointing out our mistakes. And that's by far the most important point to learn from this. We should not make Kamalakanta's mistake. Yes.
Three questions.
There's a VIG here. There's an MIG starting at 9:45. Okay.
The first one is, when the living entity, he has some certain requirements on the platform, on the material platform, he has also some requirement for emotion and affection. But when such affection, such needs cannot be satisfied, and is that, when such case happens, and then is that, it's very hard for us to love Krishna. Because we have learned that some people that they already achieved some certain exalted spiritual achievement, and then again they picked up the affection on the material platform.
Okay. So if I say it in short, we have a need for emotional satisfaction in just our worldly relationships. Then if those are not satisfied, one can take so serious to Krishna consciousness, but one may later again hanker for
this material emotional satisfaction. In other words, some sort of reference to premature renunciation. But we should know that if we take shelter of Krishna, that if we stick to it, even if on the way we are plagued by desires for mundane emotional relationships, if we just ignore that, if we just ignore that, and we keep on taking shelter of devotional service, then these desires will disappear. We will get full satisfaction in our devotional service, and then we'll lose the taste for these mundane emotional experiences. We'll lose that taste. So, in the beginning, when we practice devotional service, we are in a transcendental movement, in a transcendental process, and we are not transcendental. And therefore, we have to tolerate our material desires. Therefore, in the beginning, it is recommended that we take shelter of the mode of goodness, because that is the best situation to deal with tolerating our material desires. And then from that platform of the mode of goodness, we engage in devotional service very diligently, and then we become purified, and then in due course of time we actually become transcendental, and we become attracted to Krishna day by day. Our attachment is increasing, our desire to render service to Krishna is increasing, and we become free from this material attraction, because we actually develop a genuine higher taste. Then we come on the transcendental platform. So that once we're on the transcendental platform, we don't have to worry anymore about these material desires. When we are still in the mode of goodness, and the material desires may sometimes address itself, we just very carefully always make sure that we take shelter of the mode of goodness, of spiritual association, strong hearing chanting, strong regulative principles, and so on. And then one will not fall down, Srila Prabhupada said. Then there is no need to fall down. If one is always, at that stage, very careful to take shelter of the process, then one will not fall down. So then one can gradually advance and become full. So there's no need to go for this philosophy, let me satisfy my mundane emotional needs, right? And let me just first become materially exhausted, and then I will surrender. Yes? Prabhupada, in this matter, gave the example, he said, well, Rajneesh was having this philosophy. He was having this philosophy, first, enjoy your senses and just satisfy them to the full extent, and then you'll become exhausted. Prabhupada said, if that was true, then the pigs would be, the hawks would be the greatest transcendentalists. So no need for these emotional needs. We have to be ready. Our emotional needs are material desires. Don't worry. All our needs will be fulfilled in the relationship with Krishna. Dhruva Maharaj, broken pieces of glass and I got jewels. See? Anything else? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada.
When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu referred to Kamala Kanta,